Brew October on WTMJ is presented by Network Health, Delta Dental, and Annex Wealth Management.
Vince Vitrano and Mike Spaulding with you on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
Nothing wrong with your radio either. Mashed up a bit to hear today. Mercure out, Matzik out, Scafidi out, Wagner out. Vitrano and Spaulding in on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Debbie, well, she's on her usual traffic there.
Who makes this schedule?
Right. We got, I believe, Mike.
Gee, I wonder, Mike.
Right? I think Mike made this schedule. Wyatt's in the newsroom. Sam Butson is producing this year's program, taking you up till 6 o'clock tonight.
Finnegan looks in to Canna. First offering to him. And a drive out to left. This is high, deep, gone. Mark Canna, backflip engaged. A grand slam. And the Brewers lead it 9-5.
I mean, it was all there anyway. Brewers play-by-play man Lane Grendel on the call Saturday night at American Family Field as the Brewers that night with that shot would have two fewer games in their magic number for making the postseason. Lane is with us live this afternoon, Tri-County Contracting Hotline from St. Louis. What a joy it was to hear you make that call, Lane. I mean, as I indicated, obviously a grand slam in a really important spot. It's all there for you, but you hammered that one.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. That was a really fun moment. I've tried to think since that night if there's been a bigger call that I've been blessed to be on the call for as a Brewers broadcaster. I don't know that there is. It was that special of a moment and such a cool moment at the ballpark. And I was really blessed to be able to be on the call for it and glad that I didn't freeze up.
Is that a fear, Lane? I'm always very interested in learning about what you guys do and how you prep for moments like this. I mean, have you been thinking ahead like, okay, the Brewers could clinch the division on this day. I'm probably going to be on the call. Like, does that all go through your head and do you prep things ahead of time?
Yeah, you do. I don't write things down. Some guys do that, and I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. I try not to write things down, but I do try to workshop it in my own mind of what I'm going to say if this happens or if that happens. I almost said, and I decided not to, and I guess I'm glad that I didn't, but I almost said, can I get a grand slam? Since it was Mark Canna.
The judges also would have accepted, can I get a grand slam?
Yeah, I had that in the back of my mind as he stepped to the plate. That was the thing that Dom Catronio's dad, Vince Catronio, would use in Oakland when Mark Canna was in Oakland. Can I get a bat flip when he would throw the – he has big league bat flips. I mean, it's incredible. And so now I just called the home run straight as if it was a big moment. And then the first thing I saw when my eyes went back toward the plate was the bat helicoptering in the air 40 feet high. And so that's why I talked about the bat flip at that point, but a cool moment and just a neat realization of, I think, the potential of this team and what's in front of this team in October. It's hard not to be really excited right now.
I chose to go ahead and lead with that Saturday night because yesterday, albeit, yes, I think the homestand, we finished 5-2 on the homestand. All good. Cubs also lost later in the evening, so that worked out even better. But, man, sure would have been nice to have that one yesterday too, Lane.
Yeah, it would have, because this thing's starting to come into focus now, and so every game you win or that the Cubs or even the Reds lose, you know, gets you one step closer to getting this thing figured out and getting this thing in the books, if you will, and being able to move on and set up your rotation and get yourself ready to go for that wild card series. But, 5-2 is still an unbelievably great homestand, and you'll take it. I think the frustrating part is when you got the zero in the top of the 10th inning from Vieira, you're thinking, okay, I mean, the odds of you scoring one run with a runner at second, nobody out, are pretty high. And you're thinking, we could do this without even the benefit of a hit here. And so to not get that run home, a little disappointing for sure, but we're really having to look hard to find things to complain about right now, because this team's played amazing baseball really for the month of August and now here in the month of September as well.
Elaine, I think maybe this season came as a surprise to some who look back on the past, what, 4, 5, 6 years of Brewers baseball, and it has been very successful. The playoff wins haven't always been there, but, you know, one could argue they've been one of the most successful teams in the National League, certainly. Around the clubhouse, what's the feeling like when you're nearing things. You mentioned we're seven games out with that magic number. Do people look at the standings? Are you looking at them, or is it just business as usual because we've been lucky enough to have a few seasons of this?
I've been every day into the standings since June. I'm just going to go ahead and admit that.
I think it can be both those things. I think it is business as usual for sure, but it's over 162 games. I mean, you can't ask the guys not to look at the standings, and as this thing starts getting closer, look, they have games on in the clubhouse as they're getting ready for their game. A lot of times those are Cub games if they're at home because they're playing in the afternoon. So I don't think anybody says, don't pay attention to that, just worry about you. I think it's all part of the fun, honestly. I know I pay attention to it. I think it's natural. I think it's human nature to pay attention to it all. And the Brewers, I think, you know, absolutely, I think these guys pay attention to that. They know what's going on, and they know how close they are to finishing this thing up. And a good road trip here could put it really in focus, maybe right at the beginning of the homestand, depending on what happens with the Cubs. So it's a big seven-game road trip here through St. Louis, who's playing better, and Miami, who themselves are fighting for a wild card spot.
Talk with Lane Grendel, Brewers play-by-play man, who is in St. Louis for the game tonight, 6:45, first pitch, 6:15, the broadcast time here on WTMJ. Lane, you mentioned St. Louis, like, playing better, yeah, sure, but this is an organization that is not used to being the donkey of the division, and they certainly are. What, I don't know if you've run into any people, any fans, any people from the organization. Like, what is the mood around there in St. Louis?
Disappointment is probably the major thing, I would think. It's just they're just not used to this.
Yeah. Which is delicious to me. I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the first time since 2007, just the second time in the 21st century, they're going to have a losing record. I mean, that is.
Hang on. Say that again. That is ridiculous. What is that stat?
First time since 2007 and the second time in the 21st century, the Cardinals will officially finish a full season with a losing record.
Okay. So they're good at baseball down there. But back to the point of whether or not that's widely noticed there in and around Busch Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that they're disappointed, especially because of what they did a year ago. I mean, this was a team that came out a year ago and raced to the division title. They had that core back. They thought that they had the pieces in place to be. I mean, most people had the Brewers or the Cardinals winning this division at the beginning of the year. Those were kind of the two teams, and the Cardinals were the favorites if you probably took a legit straw poll, and the Brewers were probably picked second. If you went through all the media covering Major League Baseball, that's probably how it would have come out. Maybe the Cubs would have finished third in those preseason straw polls. So this is unexpected on top of it. You know, sometimes you go through a transition. The Cardinals don't do that very often, but sometimes you go through a transition and you can see it coming. And you know, look, here's going to be a couple of tough years. We're going to have to get through that, but hopefully we can have confidence in our scouting department and our front office that they have identified good young players to have that next winning core for our organization. I think that's how a lot of teams work around Major League Baseball. The Cardinals don't do that often. And so they came into this year thinking they were going to win the division, be World Series contenders, and instead they're in the cellar. They can't even catch the Pirates. It's interesting. It's hard to explain. I mean, you can explain it. They've had a lot of issues from a pitching standpoint. That's been a big problem for them. Some of the younger players didn't deliver like you would have thought that they could have. You look at the numbers with Goldschmidt and Arenado, still solid seasons from those two guys. I mean, they still are what they are, and this is still a decent offense, I think, that the Cardinals run out there. But they just couldn't figure it out on the mound. Adam Wainwright, who's going tonight looking for win number 200, he's had an incredibly disappointing season, and he's a great guy, and he's had an amazing career, but it's been tough. I mean, he finally won his last start. He had not won an 11 start since, you know, late June before that. So it's been that kind of year for the Cardinals.
Appreciate catching up, Lane. Have a good call tonight.
Hey, guys, always appreciate it. Thanks so much.